Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Tech Done Different Podcast with Ted Harrington. Do you follow the pack or challenge the status quo? Join Ted as he explores how to succeed by going against conventional wisdom. You'll hear leaders in technology and security tell stories about how they achieve their success by doing things differently. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Tech Done Different. As always, I'm your host, Ted Harrington. And with me here today is my special guest, Naomi Buckwalter, the Director of Information Security and IT for Beam Technologies. Naomi, I'm so psyched to have you here today.
Yo, what's up, Ted? I'm so psyched to be here. Love your podcast. Love your service to the community. Thank you.
Well, that is mutual. You're like the one of the top people I love following on LinkedIn. You're always calling it how it is, and that's what we're gonna do today. We're just gonna call it.
Oh my gosh! And it's so funny. Like I haven't even started saying the things that are really bothering me. Like I haven't talked about anything about diversity, women in technology and security. Like I've never even touched on that. Just wait. Like give me a chance, and I will start talking about that. How angry that makes me, right?
Do you want to talk about that right now?
You know, I don't know. I want to right now. Like okay. I do, but I don't. But let's just kind of work our way towards that point in time where I need to be more angry, I think. Like right now I'm feeling good, but just one little thing can tick me off. Like I'll hear something. Somebody mm-hmm. said something about a story that happened to them. And I'm like, I can't believe they would have the balls to say that. Can I say balls on your show?
You sure can.
I just did, I guess. I can't believe you have the balls to say that to somebody who is also a professional. Like, how dare you? And definitely as a female, I understand why it happens. But what I don't get is how women are okay with it. Like, we don't tell people that this is happening and then we don't help each other get through it. So it's just crazy.
Well, when you are ready to explore that conversation, I want you to hit me up and come back on the
show. I'll give you the hand signal. Yeah, I'll give you the bat signal.
But this is a good, I think, entry point into one of the many topics that you and I were talking about going into, which is like, let's talk about literally the note that I wrote down is, let's talk about all the things our industry is doing wrong. Ooh. So that, I don't know if I'll have enough time for the whole list, but where should we start on that? I mean, if I was to ask you, of the list of all the things that our industry is getting wrong, what's the first thing that you would want to mention on that list?
I would love to mention that we are losing the fight against cybercrime. And I think a lot of us don't realize this, where, you know, we work in our day-to-day job and we just see that we're okay. Like we're not getting breached. We have no problems. So we only see the little silo that is our job, but we're not getting our heads out of the sand and looking around us and then seeing the statistics and seeing the horror stories and seeing the lives that are impacted with these cyber crimes that are happening. And so just our industry, it doesn't know we're losing. And I don't know about you, Ted, but like, I hate being on losing teams. Like if you play any sports, like I do, like I literally cannot play on a team that only wants to lose or like is okay with losing. I can't. I just can't. Right. It's the same thing with my personal life. If I'm at a job and I feel like the company isn't doing too well, like goodbye, see ya. Right. I want to play with winners. Like I just want to be with winners.
I hear you on that. Yeah. So do you think it's that we don't know, and I'm using the collective we, but is it that people don't know that we're losing, or it's that we know it's happening, but we're not doing the right things in order to become a winning team?
Yeah, like so it's like a team within a team. So our larger team is losing, but within our little micro teams where we're working in our cybersecurity teams, we feel we're fine, right? Like our SOC's doing great, our application security is up to speed, we're all buttoned up there, compliance is looking great. So like we in our minds think it's fine, but we don't see the forest for the trees. Like we're not looking above and just taking a look at how we're doing together as a collective. So for sure, like there are issues and it's just sticking within your little realm and what you know and having the bias of your little scope. I'm sure there's a scientific term for that. I just don't know what that is.
Sure. You're talking about community right now, really this idea that like we're all on the same team, even if we might not necessarily know it, or if we know it, we're not necessarily working towards it. So how do we solve that? How do we because I mean, the competing problem, the resource constraint, is that there's not enough time, money, person power, et cetera, for anyone to really be successful, even within their little microcosm. So, but we also need to make sure that we're working with these other groups sort of on the same mission. How do we unpack all of that? That's pretty complex.
Yeah. Like, what's the first step towards change? Isn't it like acceptance or something? I don't even know what there's like different stages of acceptance. There's like, you know, hey, acknowledge that there's a problem. I think that's the first step. And so if we all take a look at what's going on around us, we are having this come to Jesus moment where we're having major breaches every other weekend. And it's crazy where we're like, okay, that's just going to happen. That's totally fine. You know, like, no, I want to have higher standards. What is keeping us from doing better at our jobs? And when you take a look at some of the smaller issues that feed into the larger issue of losing, the smaller issues are things like, you know, we don't play well together as a team. Like, we fight amongst each other. Like, think about any team that has failed in the history of sports. You take a look at them and they have terrible leadership. They have terrible players who just want to play for themselves. They might be individually rock stars and they're amazing, but together they are terrible and they don't have that team chemistry. Think about all the great winning teams that are just underdogs. And you're like, how did you win? Your team is made up of scrappy people who don't have any, you know, athleticism or whatever. Like, pick any team that was an underdog and you'll see that they just have this great team chemistry. And what we need is that team chemistry, but we don't have it because we're constantly fighting and we're disagreeing on things that are really factual things. Like, it's based off of data. There's statistics everywhere. There's studies everywhere that show that we are losing and there are reasons for it. And there's just a lot of us who refuse to see that.
I hear you on the chemistry aspect for sure. I mean, yeah, there's endless sports metaphors to support that. So if we think about, you mentioned a few elements to the problem, right? The team chemistry, maybe some people are playing for themselves, maybe poor leadership. Those obviously all interact with each other, but maybe let's focus on each component piece. Where do we think that leadership is failing in terms of in the broad security community?
Yeah. So like, I would say leadership, security leadership. So you might be a CISO, you might be the head of information security, whoever you are, if you are the leader of security at your company, you have a job to do, and that is to build security culture within your organization and to make sure everyone knows security is everyone's responsibility. It's not just centralized to your tiny little team. And yes, you might be very, very talented and your team is awesome, but you're not going to scale security in the way it needs to be scaled if you're only doing it within the security team. Security activities need to happen throughout the organization, and everyone has to know that they have to do great security, have to be great at security, whatever their role is. They have security activities. They have to do security. They have to be good at it. So you as a security leader needs to make that education, that build that culture, and align your goals with the goals of the business. And therefore, the business knows that you're playing with them. You know, it's not us versus them. It's not the security team versus everyone else. The security team is a service for the business. It enables the business. You're playing on the same team. Like, you're on the same team. And so if you're not doing that, you'll see things like a symptom of, you're not getting the headcount you need. You're not getting the budget you want. You're not getting a seat at the table. You're getting pushed aside, or people are hiding security problems from you because you, security leader, are not fun to work with. Like, you are just not a good leader. Like, you're not bringing the security culture to the organization, the level that it needs.
I like the idea that we need to be fun to work with. And even though that on a certain sense sounds almost like too informal or too casual to be leadership advice, it feels to me like fantastic leadership advice, right? We want people to want to work with us, right?
Yeah, security. So there's a, like, I'm seeing a change hopefully, but I grew up in a situation where security basically ran the show. Like, it was insane. Mm-hmm. Where a huge mutual fund giant, you know, they're up to $7 trillion. It's crazy, Ted. Like, they have so much money. But I grew up there in security, and I learned what good security looks like, right? Great, awesome. But you could tell whenever security was in the room, they had the lay of the land. They could say whatever they wanted and the business would roll over and say, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. Because we had the, the regulators, we had the power behind us, right? So we literally could do whatever we wanted. And not every business has that. I would say, like, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, I'm going to be the person telling you what to do now. Like, in many cases where you don't have that kind of power, it's the opposite, where the business now tells the security team what they need. And the security team is there to help drive that business and to give them the solutions that they need. And so that's what I'm not seeing now that I'm outside of the world of like finance, where I'm like, wait, why aren't people understanding that security is important? So a lot of us are in that same position where we think we're more important than we are. Right. But the business is more important. Like, we need to start recognizing this and enabling the business the way that needs to be enabled and giving them the right expertise and the guidance, advice. And that's what we're really here for. It's to not stop the business from doing anything. It's to give them the solutions for them and so that they can get their work done and to meet their goals.
Yeah. I love that insight because I've noticed this perception of security that has existed for so long. That's this idea that, like, what we do in security is we say no. And to a certain extent, yeah, there's stuff we have to say no to for sure. But it's almost like what we should be thinking about is how can we say yes and, like, yeah, okay, the business, you want to do that? Well, here are the things that have to happen in order for that to be a viable path. How do you think that we can reshape that to be the reality?
Yeah. So it's just starts with a great conversation with the business and understanding that you're all on the same team. You're winning hearts and minds for security. I know that's kind of like an empty saying, but if you build trust with them, so you're talking to them when they need to be talked, like that you respond in a timely manner to their emails and their Slack messages, you're giving great advice, you're giving great solutions. All those little baby steps build a foundation of trust that when you do need to say no to something, when they do want to do something completely dangerous and boneheaded, then you have the political capital and that trust to be like, no, actually, that's the wrong thing to do. Let me give you another option here. And this is a better option for you. So bring your ability to build relationships and trust and have those quick wins early on. So now the business knows you're on the same team as them and that you have the same interests, right? So you're like, my goals are your goals. I want you to succeed. If you're succeeding, I'm succeeding, right? And so you're bringing this idea with you that you're not there to stop anyone. You're just there to help them win because you want to win. You guys have the same goals.
Right. A lot of what you're talking about here is it echoes an observation that I made that I noticed happening over a few years that was a lot of times in security, we think about security as inherently it's good for the sake of security. Like, security matters because security matters. And while I do actually believe that to be true, in the context of a business, it really doesn't, unless we can communicate why does this help the business? And that seems like that's what you're saying as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because right, there can be too much security. Like, I'll say it again, there can be too much security. The business doesn't need all the security that you're trying to bring into it. Yeah, you're great that you know all the security controls. That's awesome. But the business doesn't need that. There's too much. And I've been a fly on the wall where security practitioners are giving advice where it's just way overkill. Like, it's just too much. The data that they're trying to protect is not that important. Like, they're trying to throw all these things at it and you're like, come on, you're killing a fly with a frying pan. Right. It's too much. And so security practitioners don't understand what the business needs. Again, it needs to be a relationship. It needs to be, you need to have the objectives the same as the business. And so I'm seeing that whole like pushback from the business where they're like, why? That makes no sense. You're telling me I need to do this when I'm really just trying to sign up for a service that does this, like this tiny little thing that I just need one time. Like, you're telling me I have to do all this. Like, we're putting up these blocks and these barriers for our business folks to actually get things done. It's crazy. Like, I've seen this so many times, and yes, it's all anecdotal evidence, but literally hundreds of conversations with people where I know for a fact that this is the mentality that many cybersecurity professionals have. It's the fact that we want to be the smartest person in the room. We want to be relevant and we want to have control over a situation where in reality, we really shouldn't be fully controlling the thing. We want to be enabling our business to get the solutions that they need.
I love it. And you're talking about this idea of we should we should make ourselves easy to work with. And it's really funny hearing you mention that, because that's something I totally believe in as well. And I advocate it over and over and over again. And a funny thing happened the other day when the producer of our show, Lauren Quinn, there was something I was asking her to do that was the harder way. And it was like, I can't remember what all the details were, but she goes to me, she's like, she's very polite, very respectful. But she says, "Ted, just to confirm, you would like me to do it this way. That to me seems like the harder way. You want me to do the easier way, right?" And it was like so professional and objective. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Yes, don't do it the way I just said it. It was awesome.
You want me to do it the easy way, right?
Yeah.
That works. I like that. I love it. I'm going to steal that. Yeah, totally. It's just changing your mindset as a security professional. It's like, yeah, we can be very, very technical and we know what good looks like, right? But it's too much. There can be too much security. And that's when the business stops listening to us. They're like, oh, we don't want to involve security because they're just going to make our life more difficult. Why would I want that? Like, that's a natural reaction to somebody that you don't want to work with. But if you're, you know, if you've got great people skills and you're able to make great connections with people, those are the people that we need in cybersecurity, Ted. We don't need the super technical folks. We need people who are both technical and great at emotional intelligence, great at building relationships and empathy. And that's what's missing right now. That linchpin right now is to get the business to listen to us. We need to be open and a little more vulnerable. And I don't see that happening. There's like not a lot going on there. And like, so I'm a huge fan of statistics, right? I can rattle off a bunch, but I think the latest statistic out there is like only 25% of cybersecurity professionals are women. I think only about 10% of that is leaders, right? And then so like, and 1% of that are like CISOs. So it's crazy where you know women, and studies have been shown this, but women are actually better at emotional intelligence. It's just the way we were raised and socialized at an early age. You know, you have to be nice in order to have friends. So we are just a little bit more in tune with the side, the emotional intelligence side. And so what we're seeing is the companies that are more diverse and have diverse security teams, including different educational backgrounds, different, genders, right? Different, all the different things, all the diversity things. More women actually end up becoming better security teams because they just have a level of emotional intelligence that maybe all male teams do not have. Now, I'm not saying that all male teams don't have this, but for women, studies have shown women are better at things like leadership and emotional intelligence and building winning teams and, you know, like all the things that a business leader is going to look into. So you're starting to see that next generation of women really starting to take on leadership roles because the C-level understands this. They're like, they see women. They're like, wow, we want that. We want that leadership quality on our teams.
You've been such a good advocate for how we can get more people in the industry, including ethnic and gender minorities, and how to, you know, increase the idea and perspective diversity across teams. So it strikes me that the conversation we've been having is around how, like, sometimes in security, we make our own lives harder, we make ourselves harder to work with. And it seems like one of those things that we do is we make it hard for people to want to enter security because we have these ridiculous job requirements for entry-level jobs, all this stuff. So how do we rectify all of that so that not only do we get more people in because we need more people, period, but also so that we get more women in and get more women in leadership roles and, you know, do better at diversity?
Yeah, great question. I've thought about this. I don't have a great solution because if there is a solution out there, I'm sure someone else has thought of it. Mm-hmm. For cybersecurity, there's plenty of women who want to join. Like, I think that's a myth, by the way. It's like, oh, women don't like to be in tech or women don't want to be in security. Like, that's completely false. It's like the opposite issue. Like, women would love to be in security. That's the thing is, like, we're seeing that it's so much harder for a woman to get into cybersecurity because of the stereotypes and the biases. And like a woman has to work twice as hard as a man just to be seen and heard and to be respected. Like it, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not a psychologist. I couldn't tell you what those are, but a lot of stereotypes and biases play into that. And what women are coming up against is the fact that, yeah, men are going to expect higher things from you. Like you're going to have to rattle off your credentials before you can even give advice. I used to have to do that. I used to have to come in and be like, oh, and so I have 2 master's degrees. I have a background in computer engineering. I have my CISSP. You know, like all these things. And like, before I even start saying the things that I want to say. And I have to lead pretty much every single meeting with my credentials. And it was exhausting. I hated it. So what we can do, and this is not just meetings with men. This is meetings with men and women, by the way. It's like not just the men that are doing this. We're doing this to ourselves, women, ladies. So the thing is, if we want more diversity, we just have to start doing it. Just hire for and look for potential in candidates. Do a blind screening. This is what I do when I hire. I actually get their names taken off of the resumes, and I just look at their history and their whatever. And I degenderize as much as possible. If I have a project thing for part of the interview process, it's hey, do this project. I make sure that they're given a number, not a name. This is number one submission. So I'll look at number one. And so I can never tie it back to a certain person and then have that little thing in my head that says a woman wrote this and therefore I'm going to have lower expectations or whatever. Or a Black person wrote this, so I'm going to have different expectations. So I know I have stereotypes and biases. I know that because I've been on this earth for 4 decades. I understand what's going on. And so I try to stop that from happening on purpose because I know I have those triggers. And so little steps like that, it's hey, take the names off of their resumes when you review them. Get your HR team to be hey, just scrap the names, scrap where they live, scrap their zip code, because yes, zip code can be tied back to wealth and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So scrap all that information on the top and just put a number on it and be hey, I really like number 3, right? Let's get them a screening call. I love number 7. Let's talk to them.
I like that.
And then you don't have names associated. You don't have biases. And that's just one really easy way of me finding the right candidate and not really caring who it is. And my last position that was open was an internship where I was looking for someone with no technical background. I was looking for someone with just the passion and the hunger and the intelligence, right? So what I did was got rid of the names. By the time the final round happened, it was 3 women and 1 man. The man was a veteran, very, very smart man. There was a student, there was a career changer, and then there was an opera singer. There's so much going on there. Wow. Where I'm just and I ended up getting the opera singer, no technical background. She's kicking butt. She's doing amazing. I love her because she just has this brain in her that, come on, you made that connection by yourself. That's amazing.
Seriously.
And again, all the resources are out there where I don't have to handhold her. That's the best part. I'm only spending maybe 3 hours max a week giving her advice and guidance and telling her where to look for things. She's studying for the Security Plus on her own. She's learning how to code on her own because people are smart, Ted. People are not dumb. I think a lot of cybersecurity professionals just assume they're the smartest person and therefore everyone else is dumb. That is so not true. There's so many smart people out there. And you just have to just give them the chance and just be hey, I'll hire you for 3 months, intern. And if it works out, we'll hire you full time. That's just how it is. It's not hard. A lot of people think it's going to be really difficult to hire a new person. You have to hold them and train them. And it takes years to do that and get some ROI. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My intern is creating security playbooks. She created one her first week and she knew nothing. All I told her was here's a framework that you want to follow. What would happen if a laptop gets stolen? Let's write a playbook for that. Okay, here's what a playbook is and go ahead. And she killed it. I'm like, come on, man, that's so easy. Let's go. And then we're just going to get more and more difficult from there. You have immediate ROI. There's junior level tasks. And I'm going on a rant here now. I'm getting a little angry. There's junior level tasks in every single domain within security. Think about it. Do you need 5 years of experience and a CISSP to be a SOC analyst? No, you actually do not. You do not need a CISSP to be a SOC analyst. I'm not knocking on SOC analysts. I appreciate SOC analysts everywhere. People do a great job. But do you need a CISSP and a 5 years of experience and a master's degree to do GRC? You do not. There's so many junior level tasks sprinkled throughout security that you can very easily fill a plate with lots of things for a person, for sure. I'm done.
Well, please don't end. No, we definitely share a passion for that type of hiring. We at our company, we call them aptitude hires. We find someone who's smart and capable and we're like, we'll teach you the security stuff. We can't teach you mindset. We can't teach you hustle. We can't teach you desire to learn. We can't teach you how to be a good, maybe we can teach some aspects of being a teammate, but the tactical skills, those can be learned. And so I'm glad to hear that, that echoes your experience too.
Oh my gosh. And this is not even the first time I'm doing this. Like, it's like, I know it can be done because I've done it. But you know, I even went more extreme. Like my first intern ever had a little bit of IT experience, right? A little bit of help desk. Great. We can work with that. This time I purposely hired for someone with literally no tech background, literally coming out intentionally just to see if it can be done. And it can be done. Trust me.
That will be a really interesting case study when I believe you that it will be able to be done. But once you have the sort of like success metrics to say, I intentionally hired a person without these capabilities, fast forward a year, here's what this person did.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not trying to make her into an experiment or anything because I already know that she can do this. But she's already been here for 2 weeks, already making the right connections, reaching out to the right people. I haven't had to hold her hand. You know, the fact that she is a great communicator, understands how security, what it's supposed to be, is an enabler, right? So I'm teaching her from the ground up what good security looks like within an organization and how we're here to enable the business and not to stop. So she shadows me for the rest of her time. The time that she's not working on a project or learning about security, she's shadowing me and watching me give advice and guidance and, you know, sitting in on meetings where I'm just the person, you know, asking the right questions and giving the answers, you know, at certain times. So she's learning what good security looks like. And that's what I want. I just want to build a generation of security professionals who have seen security done the right way versus the way I was raised in security, which is literally security got to do whatever it wanted. And then me taking that mindset and then moving it into a business that was like the complete opposite now, and me trying to apply that same mindset. I'm like, wait a second, nobody's listening to me. Why? So that's what happened there, right? I was very like in a bubble of this is what good security is, but also like we had way too much power at that company for sure.
So once we find smart people, irrespective of experience, we hire them, we bring them into the organization. How do we now equip them? I mean, the story, the way you're talking about with this, with your intern, she obviously sounds very capable, but she does need some sort of like guidance and tutelage and training and things like that. How do we help these smart people become smart and capable security professionals?
Oh yeah. So it does take the right teacher. I want to say like, not everyone is meant to do this. So if you're here listening, you're like, oh, I've always wanted to be a teacher, or I find it really easy to explain difficult technical concepts to someone who doesn't understand it. Like, you would be a great teacher. You'd be a perfect person to do this. Ask your company to hire an intern. You'd be like, hey, can I be the mentee or the mentor for the intern? And so you explain it to them in simple concepts. You just teach using stories or analogies, right? Like a way a good teacher is able to reach through to a student. It really depends on the student, but good teachers normally do this very well. They can simplify a concept into simple terms and then build on top of that. So I think I'm pretty good at that, honestly. Like, having little kids makes me a better teacher, I think, and just being a coach in my previous life, right, for volleyball and stuff like that. So I'm able to break down difficult concepts into either like simple single concepts and like link them together, or just point them in the right direction to where they should be able to learn on their own, and recognizing that. So not everyone's meant to be a teacher, but everyone was once a student. So you at least know what bad teaching looks like. I think like everyone at least had one bad teacher, but you should hopefully have also had a good teacher at one point. And then try to replicate that. Be like, how did that person get the best out of me, right? So you want to try to like tap into that social engineering aspect of being a cybersecurity professional, right? Like, a lot of this is just like, how do I tweak you? How do I hack you, person? How do I get you to do something? And it's fun. It's like, it's such a challenge, and people are so interesting. I think the technology is no longer that challenging. I really think it's people that we have to convince and influence and persuade. Like, that is fun. That's almost like a little bit of psychopath, right? Like, I'm going to get you to do something and you're not even going to know you're doing it. That's kind of what we have to do.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, you're helping validate some of my own philosophies for sure, because I sometimes look at people that I'm, you know, coaching or cultivating, and literally my barometer will be, well, would this work for me? You know, and it's like, well, but I'm only one person. I only have my experiences. And what if I'm, you know, incorrect? But what I'm hearing you say is, hey, you know, that is actually a good teacher. Your own experience is something that you can use to turn around and help teach somebody else.
For sure. Yeah. Like, use everything that you have brought into your life and just try to turn that around in a good way. Like, the best kind of people, I would say, have gone through a little bit of pain and suffering, right? Like, the best among us have really great characters, and what grows character? It's like suffering and pain. Like, sorry to hear about that. Like, yeah, like, we've all had that. Like, we've all had situations where we were not favored in a certain situation, right? But we want to show, we want to turn around and grow from that and show other people how to grow out of their own pain and to grow out of their own struggles, because that's what really human life is for. Like, I'm trying to get not too philosophical. Wait, what word is that? Philosophical. I don't want to get too philosophical. When I get really excited, I stop talking English. I start talking in my brain, philosophical. And we want to help each other and help each other grow. The whole purpose of life really is to make everyone else's life better and to make the world a better place. Literally, it sounds so cheesy, but think about how it comes back to you. Like, if you make someone else's life better, they're also going to make your life better at the same time, right? Because everyone has the same mission. And so if we're doing that well, we will have a world that is really nice to live in versus this whole capitalistic society where, like, it's the corporations ruining our lives, right? Like, we're in such a terrible place right now. Anyway.
Right. Those two can coexist to a certain extent. I mean, capitalism and corporations and all that stuff. I mean, we still can, even working within corporate America or, you know, outside of America too, but like the idea of working in corporations, we can still treat people right and still try to make their lives good. I mean, that sounds like a really profound leadership principle that you're—
Oh yeah. But like, if you ask any executive and CEO and you ask them, you know, like, so do you make the world a better place? You know, like, or what, you know, like, what's your mission? They're always going to have some sort of angle about, like, oh, we help the world. We do make the world a better place. We're here to help humanity. And like, our mission is to make whatever, everything better for humans, whatever. Like, no CEO is ever going to stand up and be like, no, we just want to make profits. Like, literally, they would always give you the song and dance. It's almost the same thing for security. Like, you ask any CEO, do you care about security? And they will say, oh, of course. Like, they're definitely important, you know. But the actions speak way louder than words. So do you take a look at their, you know, their budget, right? Do you have security budget? Doesn't look like it, or it looks pretty low here, right? Or like, you know, how many times have you involved the security people at your board meetings? Or like, are they part of your C-level? Like, talk about that kind of stuff. Those actions will tell you volumes about whether security is important for that company or not.
I totally agree. So I could talk to you all day and the next day and the next day. Unfortunately, we do run out of time at some point. But as we wrap up our time here today, is there anything that you wanted to leave our audience with or announce that's coming up or anything that, you know, any parting wisdom?
Yeah, awesome. So thanks for asking. I am starting a nonprofit. It's called Cybersecurity Gatebreakers. It'll be available coming soon. I'm still trying to work on it and like spending some time there. Cybersecuritygatebreakers.org. I am now focusing on the demand side of the equation, where there are plenty of people trying to break in, but not a lot of hiring managers convinced that it's the right thing to do. So Cybersecurity Gatebreakers will provide guidance on how to hire an intern, what to do with an internship program, why you should be hiring entry-level people with no technical experience, and busting some of the myths out there, because no, you do not need a super, super duper computer science-y foundation in order to do cybersecurity. It is a myth, because I know, because I've done it, where you don't need a deep dive knowledge into all things computers and technology. But you don't need that. You can start small, you can have immediate ROI, and all those things will be available at cybersecuritygatebreakers.org.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for all the wisdom and insight. I've enjoyed everything about this conversation. So you're amazing. Thanks for being here.
You're amazing too. I love your book.
And everybody else, if you want to learn more about Naomi or request to appear on the podcast yourself, just go to tedharrington.com/podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tech Done Different podcast with Ted Harrington. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.